So hi everyone, welcome to the podcast. So today we're joined by Jonathan Chang. So hi Jonathan, would you like to briefly explain who you are and what you do to the audience?
Amazing. Yes. So I'm Jonathan. Right now, full time, I work at Brex as something called an XIR. What that is, it's kind of like a venture in residence role. My job is how do we meet as many early stage founders and investors as possible for Brex, figure out how to build community for Brex, and really just help early stage founders out. Before, I was working as a VC associate at a fund called GSV doing edtech investing. And outside of Brex, I do a few fun side projects in a sense. I run something called Gen Z Scouts, which is a program on how do we get students, especially from non-target universities, into the world of venture capital and startups. I invest through my syndicate, Daydream Ventures, which is like a Gen Z focused syndicate, as well as I also do TikToks under the name Venture Capital Guy, just making venture capital and startup content. So that's a quick background about myself.
Awesome. I think it's amazing what you're doing in the Gen Z Scout program. So I wanted to understand from you, what's the future of the program?
It's a really great question because I'm trying to figure out what the future of this program looks like myself. I kind of envision this. A, how do we get as many students who might not have had access into startups or venture to get them to understand and know about the space? Even because I guess the thing is, it's like even if a student goes in the program and realizes, hey, venture isn't for me, or instead, startups is for me, or A, startups isn't for me, but something else is. At least we give them opportunity to figure that out before they actually become VCs full time and realize they hate the role. Second of all, I guess one of the big things is, it would be very cool eventually to have a fund for Gen Z Scouts. All of our members either have gone on after the program to become VCs at some really great firms, or as well as becoming VCs, they are also become, founders themselves, some who've been funded by VCs, OnDeck, YC, and it's a really great opportunity for talent discovery as well.
Amazing. And I really love what you're doing, especially with your TikTok content. I binged a couple of your TikToks and I'm really impressed by what you're doing on TikTok. So I wanted to understand from you, where do you get your ideas for your TikTok?
Yeah, it's a really great question. A lot of it is stuff that I just think about the day of. So my TikTok, I tried in the beginnings to create like a TikTok calendar, like, all right, this day I'm gonna make this video, this day I'm gonna make this video. Probably worked for a week. After that, it was basically I just go scroll on TikTok for, 30 minutes and kind of see what videos are out there and then kind of think, oh, what video should I make today? So sometimes I have really great ideas, other days I can't really think of anything. But it's interesting because, I've been doing TikToks for 2 years and it's sometimes hard to create new content. So it's always like, what kind of content should I drive and figure out how to sort of best use that content? Or also just looking at other TikTokers, different, finance niches. There's like Tech Talk, there's like, PM TikTok and everything else. And a lot of TikToks that they make can somehow be repurposed into, like venture startup talk. So it's really interesting. Yeah.
I think it's a lovely point you brought up about repurposing from other niches. So my next question to you is, so any advice for up and coming Asian American creators?
How do you play to your niche? I follow some really amazing Asian. Personally, I love cooking. So I watch a lot of Asian American creators who are doing cooking, which I think is really, really cool because they make dishes that you don't really see on other TikTok channels and dishes that I'm like, oh, I really want to make this. I think it's just figure out your niche and figure out how to stay with it. I think you see a lot of really cool Asian American creators coming out, and it kind of started with YouTube. Back in the golden era of YouTube was dominated by Asian American creators. You had like Ryan Higa, you had Kev Jumba, you've had Wong Fu Productions. This was like what, 2008, 2007. And that era of YouTube was dominated by Asian American creators because they found a very interesting niche in the space. And I really think in order to help Asian creators grow is how do we find our own niches and really build on top of that.
I think that's a lovely point you've shared about finding your own niche. So, my next question to you is, so what were your parents very receptive to you becoming a TikToker, and what were their reactions when you told them, like, you know, mom and dad, I want to be a TikToker?
Honestly, they were pretty fine with it, because at the end of the day, I'm still working in venture doing, and TikTok's just a really side hobby. They always knew I liked videography. So even before VC, when I was in college, I was a videographer. So I would shoot videos for everyone like Miramasa, Charlie XCX, or whoever artists came to campus. I was a film minor as well. So was always around in Hollywood. And TikTok was pretty natural. I used to make video before TikTok. It was me making videos, non-tech related, like more like travel videos on like YouTube and on like Vimeo or any other of these video hosting services. But hey, now it is doing TikToks, and they're super okay with it because I was like experimenting with different videos. But I used to do kombucha TikToks before VC TikToks actually didn't do well. But hey, now we're at VC TikTok.
So I think the biggest takeaway I got out of your experience from TikTok was that you were constantly experimenting with your content. So how important do you think that is for up-and-coming creators to be experimenting with their content?
I think they should always be experimenting, trying to see what works and what doesn't. And I think because the algorithm changes over time, and I really, really think that in order to sort of go with the flow and start changing more and more of like this TikTok content that we have is how do you experiment over time and how do you sort of see what works and see what doesn't. I think TikTok is more about quantity because you can post 10 videos. All that matters is you have two videos go viral and you're going to be pretty good.
Yeah, you brought up a great point about the algorithm. So my next few questions are more along the lines of the VC space and the work that you're doing at Daydream VC. So could you share a bit about Daydream VC?
Yeah, Daydream VC is a tool, or sorry, not a tool, a syndicate that invests in Gen Z founders. Our job is basically how do we invest in some of the brightest and best founders of our generation? Because our kind of initial thought is Gen Z is completely different from what millennials are like, or even what Gen X is like, for a few reasons. We are one of the most adept digital natives out there because, for one, we grew up using, Facebook. We grew up having the internet. We grew up with like cell phones and smartphones. So they're completely different than like what millennials were. Even though they're technically adept, they didn't grow up with like the internet. They didn't grow up with smartphones or Facebook until they got to college plus. So for us, it comes really natural. So I think there's a lot of leeway to be made there, but we invest pre-seed to seed anywhere from 25 all the way to 125K checks into exceptional founders. This isn't our full-time jobs, so we probably do a deal every, 2 to 3 months-ish. So, and we invest pretty generalist. The only sectors that I don't do is kind of like deep tech, biotech, just because I don't have enough knowledge to understand that space or anyone on my team. And more so, we've been investing lately in like places we're interested in, fintech, the future of living, vertical SaaS, and a little bit of like consumer SaaS, but a little bit less than that.
That's amazing. And so I wanted to kind of get your take on how do you source these Gen Z founders? Like, is it through TikTok or is it mainly through inbound, outbound? What's your take on that?
Yeah, a lot of it is, inbound. It's just about building a brand. Venture is building a brand. And it's about more so who's going to invite you to your network, whether it be you talk to founders, they introduce you to other founders, you talk to VCs, they introduce you to their portfolio companies that they talk to. or really everything else from some people reaching out to you because they read an article about you, or they've been to, especially Brex as well, they've been to your Brex event. They've seen the work you've done at, when I've done at Brex and wanted to reach out and chat and see, talk about fundraising. So it's really a lot of it. I guess this, it's like if you start new in BC, everything's outbound. You're reaching out to people, but once you build a brand, once you build traction, a lot of things are then inbound.
So now my next question to you. So how do you build a personal brand and how do you kind of bring these opportunities of deal flow to you rather than you seeking it out?
It's interesting. I feel like building a brand's always really interesting because everyone does it in completely different ways. I think one of the biggest things is how do you be authentic to yourself and how do you show the audience you're authentic, which is easier said than done. Because building a brand is completely different based on what type of personality you have. Like your Turner Novaks and Alex Covens of the world have built out their brands amazingly by being great shit posters on Twitter. That's their brand. And they've built out their brand very authentically. Versus, if you're not a shit poster, how do you build a brand? Which is you have to figure that out. In terms of how do you create an authentic voice to yourself that is genuine and sort of like extension of who you are in real life.
I think that's a fabulous point that you brought up about being authentic to yourself. So my next question is, how did you raise capital for your first syndicate? And following up from that, how did you secure partners like Techstars in your syndicate?
I guess how did I secure part? I guess the first part, how did I raise capital? Like LPs for my first syndicate. It was just a lot. That was a lot of outbound. It was me reaching out to a lot of angel investors, being like, "Hey, I have this cool opportunity. Do you want to invest?" And just reaching out to people and their networks until enough people said yes. It was hard at first, but made it happen. And after that, it gets a little bit easier over time every so often. As for partners, we don't really have any partnerships with anyone else. I guess it's like, oh, who we've co like Techstars, we're not partners with them, but we've co-invested in that with them on a company. And that's just more of, our great founders who have been invested by some really great venture funds and accelerators see the value that we bring to the table and decide to take us in with some of these amazing funds like Techstars.
Awesome. So your take on that is to do a lot of outbound outreach. And yeah, so my last question to you. So could you share a bit about Brex HQ and being a community builder? And I know you've thrown a lot of events over the last years. So could you share like any insights on that?
Yeah, so Brex, if you don't know what Brex is, we do banking startups, but how I best describe it is an all-in-one finance tool for founders. We offer founders banking, credit cards, expense management tools, and kind of everything in between where we work with founders from day one all the way to, post IPO. I joined Brex for a few reasons. One was the position was a really interesting role, the XIR position. And I guess talking more about that, my role is what I described in the beginning. How do I meet as many early stage founders as I can and figure out what the best ways are to help them? And that includes throwing events, meeting people through coffees in the city, and figuring out, I think the most important is how do you be a super connector in the city? My goal when I joined Brex was, all right, I live in San Francisco. If a new founder moves to San Francisco, and needs to figure out, all right, I want to get into the startup community. Who should I chat with that I'm the first person on their list? That's when I know I've done a successful job at Brex, is when the founders are like, okay, I should talk to Jonathan. And I think really just growing over time, it's how do we be authentic? Because at the end of the day, these companies like your Brexes, your Ramps, and your Mercuries, they're all working in very similar fashions. They do startup credit cards. They do startup, cash management bank accounts. And a lot of the distinction or what we've seen in market is founders coming to me and telling me, hey, I'm using Brex because I met you and you are a face to this company, which I love because when you think about what, if you're looking at comparing like two or three different companies, a lot of people will choose the ones that they have the most personal connection with. You look at a company, say company A, and it's just like, a faceless organization that does normal company stuff. You look at it, and versus you compare it with company B, same product, but there's a face to the brand, or there's authenticity, and you've met employees at the brand, and you feel that they have been genuine and helping you, and you can put a face to a name. Most founders will choose company B because of that sort of human.
At its core, I think the biggest takeaways are to be authentic and human connections. Could you share a bit on how to craft a good cold email?
Yeah, a really good cold email. That's a good question. I haven't done too many cold emails of late, but when I was applying to venture capital jobs, I guess better terms, when people send me cold emails on what makes me want to respond to them is how much research have they done? If I get a cold email like, "Hey, my name's Jonathan. I went to UCLA. I saw your profile. Want to chat about venture?" I probably don't want to talk to them because that's very basic information. They did zero research. And it's pretty much probably going to waste my time. But if anyone, whether a founder, whether a student who wants to learn more about what I do, is like, "Hey, I'm really interested in talking to you for XYZ reasons. I saw you did this, and this is what I've been doing." So I get an A, know them a little bit better from their email, but B, kind of figure out what the genuine reason for them wanting to talk to me is. Then I'll respond to them. Because at the end of the day, it's all about when you talk to someone, that's 30 minutes of your time. And you want people, A, value their time, but B, you want time. You want whoever's on the receiving end on that to find it valuable. If someone is like, "Hey, doesn't do much background research, just says like a few words," at the end of the day, you have a conversation with them, you've wasted 30 minutes. They probably also wasted 30 minutes because they don't get as much as they need out versus someone who actually does their research and knows what they want to get out of it. You spend 30 minutes, but then they get something really nice, which I think, is what I want to go for.
Yeah, so I think the biggest takeaway for me at least was that research is key.